remind you of some of those things this morning that we already know. But I want to start out not on a negative aspect already, but to remind us about some definite truths here. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. We're going to start there. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. Thank you. Did anybody cough on this morning? No? Okay, good. All right. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. It says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Or that word small can also mean narrow. If the day of adversity comes and you faint and you give up, then really your strength and your faith was not what it ought to be. Brothers and sisters, how many of you truly believe that God is alive? You honestly and truly believe that. How many of you believe that God is in control? How many of you believe that God cares? Both hands up. All right? So if that is the truth, then this has not caught God by surprise. But you would be surprised at how many people are panicking and they're scared and they don't know what to do and they're worried about what tomorrow holds. The finances and the sicknesses and the health care and all. And I know those are valid arguments and I know those are valid reasons to be concerned. But brothers and sisters, we came into this world with nothing and we'll leave this world with nothing. Adversity is going to come. But the problem is, how are you going to react when this adversity comes? How are you going to react when the doctor says it's a positive response to coronavirus? You've got the virus. How are you going to respond when this job says, "Hey, listen, we've got to lay you off now for a little while because of the fact we don't have any money coming in"? How are you going to respond when the country says, "Hey, we're going to shut everything down like Italy and you're not going anyplace anytime"? How are you going to respond when these things start taking place? Parents, how are you going to respond tomorrow morning when your kids don't go to school? A time of adversity. Guess what? Our God is still in control, and we need to be reminded of what we already know. Don't faint. Don't freak. Don't get scared. Cry out to God. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Joshua 1, chapter number 9. Joshua talks about not the coronavirus necessarily, but he talks about a situation like this. Joshua comes right before Judges. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 9. Now, if you don't have your Bibles with you right in front of you in the pew there, there should be some Bibles. Joshua chapter 1, start verse number 7. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, it says this: "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go." It says, don't turn, don't be deviated. Go exactly the way that God wants you to go. Don't kind of veer off to the right or veer off to the left. Go. Now, how many of you, when you're driving down the road nowadays, a lot of these roads, they've got those little bump things on the right-hand side. If you veer too much to the right, it goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And if you veer a little bit too much to the left, they've got the reflectors, and it starts making a noise. They try to keep you right in the middle path. Brothers and sisters, stay in the middle path of trusting in what God's in control. Let God do those things. Verse number 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." Meditate on these things. What does it mean to meditate? It means to ruminate as the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Sing the Word of God. Listen to people talking about the Word of God. Listen to people reading the Word of God. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Turn off the stinking TV. Stop listening to the news 24/7, getting yourself scared to death. Stop meditating on what the news programs are telling you. Meditate on God's Word. Find out what God says about these things. Find out the strength and the trust we have in God. Now, I'm not saying we need to be ignorant And I'm not saying we don't need to be aware of what's going on, but if you're like me sometimes, I can sit there and I can watch the TV and they're saying the same things over and over and you start getting scared. You start freaking out. You start getting afraid of what's going on. Stop meditating on the fear. Meditate on the Word of God. Verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoest thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In other words, God's with you and you can't get away from Him. There's no place that you can go that He's not already there. There's a lot of people say, where two or more are gathered together, there He is in the midst of it. Let me help you out with that a little bit. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, God is with you at all times. There's never a time God is not with you. He is with you 24/7. And in the case of this year, 366 days. God has not abandoned you. He'll never abandon you. He is with you. He has not forgotten you. He has not put you on the shelf. He's not said, "Hey, get away from me because you got the virus." He says, "Listen, I am with you. Be strong. Be of good courage. God is with you whithersoever thou goest." That gives me comfort. That gives me strength. Whithersoever thou goest, all right? So remember what you know. Number one, pray and have faith in Christ. Pray and have faith in Christ. Matthew chapter 6. Now we're going to be turning to a lot of scripture this morning. If you want to write the verses down, you're welcome to do it. If you want to follow along with what I'm reading, please do. But I'm going to give you scripture, and then I want you to go home today, and I want you to meditate on what scripture says this morning. If you forget anything I said, no problem. Don't worry about it. But don't forget what God's word says, because God's word is eternal. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Pray and have faith in Christ. It says this, "But seek ye first," make your number one priority, "the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when you do that, all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all your needs of life, God's going to take care of them. Put Him first. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. Live according to what He wants. And God promises He's going to take care of your needs. But then look verse number 34. He then says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Don't worry about tomorrow. Why? "For the morrow, tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Stop worrying about tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take care and make proper plans for tomorrow. That's not what it's saying. But don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Stop freaking out and worried about what tomorrow may hold. Guess what? Do right today. Do right this afternoon. When you leave here this afternoon, go home. Love your family. Hold your children closer. Hold your grandkids closer. It's okay to do that. Make sure they use hand sanitizer, but make sure you do that. Make a phone call to somebody. Maybe you need to have a long-awaited phone call that you've been holding off and you've been putting off. All right? Send flowers to somebody who you really care about. And here's a good one. Tell your spouse that you love them. Well, that seems kind of silly. Well, I've talked to several people that said, "Hey, I didn't tell my spouse I loved them before they died. If I had one more opportunity to tell them I love them, I would love to do that." Take the opportunity. Tell people that you love them. Take the opportunity. Do something nice for somebody else. Take the opportunity. Tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. Just live today and bring honor and glory to God today. Amen? Amen. All right. Look, go to the next. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Pray and have faith in Christ. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says this, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about things, but in everything, everything. What is the word, what does that phrase everything mean, church? Everything. Nothing's excluded. When you run out of toilet paper, what do? That's included in everything. I'm sorry. Let me just stop for a second here. What does toilet paper have to do with the virus? I don't understand. I really don't understand. I literally, now I wasn't looking for it, but I literally went to Ingles the last 4 days, and it was completely wiped out. But yesterday I went, and there was 6 packages of toilet paper sitting on the shelf, and I didn't buy a single one. But honestly, what does it got to do with anything? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. Pray about everything. Say, God, I know you've got this under control. God, I'm trusting you. I've got this in your hands. God, you handle it. God, please, you've got to take care of it. And look at verse 7. Look what it says. If you'll do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you'll pray, if you'll trust Him, if you'll give it to God, guess what? You'll have peace. And that's the message I want to deliver to everybody. You're freaking and you're scared and you're upset. Pray. Talk to God. Trust Him. Give it to Him. And you'll have the peace that passes all understanding. Well, Brother Brian, you're the pastor, and you don't ever have anything to be concerned about. Everything's provided for you. You've got nothing to worry about. I've got 2 teenagers and an 11-year-old and a saint for a wife. Amen? She's the one that's got to worry. Brothers and sisters, we all have concerns. We all have worries. We all have things that that we don't know what the future holds. Trust God. Just honor Him. Place those things in His hands. Trust Him. That's what it says to do. Let me give you another verse. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 55. Paul writes these words and he says this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have won the victory because of what Jesus Christ has done, what Jesus Christ is doing, and what Jesus Christ is going to do. We've won the victory. Amen. Can I get somebody to grunt holy this morning? Mm-mm-mm. We've won the victory. We've won the victory. Remember these things. Now you say, Brother Brian, I've known all these things. I've heard these things for years and years and years. I've been taught them and I've heard them preached and I've read them. But remember, Sometimes it's easy to forget these things. Remember what you know. All right, so number one, pray and have faith in Christ. Number two, love others. Love others and trust Christ. Love others. Look at Psalm 37 with me real quick. Psalm 37. Love others. If we just focus on ourselves and just try to please ourselves and just take care of ourselves, then we're really not doing what we're supposed to be doing on this earth. Our mission on this earth is not to please ourselves. Our mission on this earth is to tell others about the love of Jesus Christ and love other people. Psalm 37, verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Delight, commit, trust. Do what God has told you to do. Now I love what verse number 5 says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Brother Brian, when are all these things going to end? When is life going to get back to normal? Let me say a very bold statement this morning. I don't want things back to normal. I don't want things the way they used to be last week. Ooh, now wait a minute. You know why? Apathy is reigning in our country right now. Apathy is all over the place. And we're just in a nice steady move. And as long as the stock market is up, and as long as we have enough supplies, and as long as everything is going fine, everything should be way, and everything is smooth, and it's okay. But you know the problem with that is apathy begins to set in readily. Apathy is worse than coronavirus. And we go along, and we go along, we go along, and all of a sudden something like this happens, and we get scared. It's the times like this that we need somewhere to look. It's the times like this that we need to cry out to somebody who can control things. That's God Almighty. Now, here's where we love people. Because you know people who are panicking right now. You know people who don't know what to do. You know people who don't know where to turn. So what do you tell them? Right here. Open up God's Word and share that with them. Now you say, no, wait a minute, Brother Ryan. I know so-and-so that if I open up the Bible, they're going to turn me off. They're not going to listen to me. So let me give you a cheat situation. Let me help you out with something. Write these verses down on a piece of paper. And when they start freaking out, and you say, hey, listen, let me give you some wise words, and just read them to them. Wow, those are neat. Where'd they come from? The Bible. The Bible. There's a fellow that I was reading a testimony today, and he was a gangbanger in Folsom Prison. And he got arrested in California, and he got sent to Folsom Prison, and he was a horrible gangster. But God, praise God, he got saved in prison, and so he started making kites while he was in prison. You know, a kite? Why would they make kites in prison? No, a kite is a small little note that is passed among inmates. And they would pass these kites among inmates with different notes and different messages on them so that you could pass the word to somebody else. And this fellow, when he got saved, he would start making little kites, little yellow pieces of paper, not even bigger than my fingers right there. And they would fold them and fold them and fold them and fold them. And he would start taking these kites and he would start giving them to the gangsters in the prison, the people who hated God, the people who were angry and mean. And so what he would do, he'd start giving these kites to them, and on each every little bitty note, he would say this: if you want me to pray for you, next time you see me, just nod your head. He didn't have to advertise it. He didn't have to make a big show of it. He just simply would pass that to the prison, to the convicts. And as he would do that, he would start to notice that every time he would see one of these guys, they would nod at him. And he knew that that meant was pray for him. He didn't get knifed. He didn't get hurt. He didn't get molested whatsoever. Matter of fact, the Bible studies started increasing in the prison because the faithfulness of this fellow just telling the Word of God to people by writing it down. You don't have to take the Bible and slap people upside the head with it like I've told you. But if you'll simply share one verse of Scripture from somebody, share one piece of Scripture with somebody who's scared, share one piece of Scripture with people who are looking for the truth. This is love, brothers and sisters. Give God's Word as love to people. Amen? Amen. All right. You say amen, we'll go quicker. Amen? All right, there we go. All right, pray and have faith in Christ. Number two, love others and trust Christ. And number three, here it is, the last one, be careful as necessary. Be careful as necessary. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Be careful as necessary. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about the health issues. Don't go around licking poles. Don't do that. All right? Don't go around and if you got to sneeze, take a handkerchief and sneeze and throw the handkerchief. If you're not feeling well, don't go in public. All right? Don't take unnecessary risks. Don't walk around and say, well, I'm mighty in God, so I can go ahead and do this. No, you're asking for a problem there. Do what's right. Be necessary. Be careful. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. A prudent or a knowledgeable or a person who understands things, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Know the risks. Know what's going to take place. I realize and understand that on school days, when the school is in session at 3 o'clock, that becomes the Indianapolis 500 out there. Fontana Road is a crazy, crazy place at 3 o'clock. Now, if I was dumb and I didn't foresee the evil, I'd go stand in the middle of the road as the traffic came by. And they say, well, that's kind of ridiculous, Brother Brian. Well, see, I know what's going to happen if I do that. So I know what the results can be, and I'm going to plan for it, and I'm going to take the necessary measures to do it. We don't know what all's involved. We really don't. There's a lot of things that we're not aware of. But brothers and sisters, don't live a life of fear. Instead, be prudent with what you do. Wash your hands. Okay, wash your hands. For 20 seconds, they say. You know what you can do for those 20 seconds? Pray while you're washing your hands. Use hand sanitizer. Wipe your surfaces. You know what? It sounds like a spring cleaning event to me. And all the wives said, thanks, Brother Brian. I appreciate that. Be sanitary. Be prudent on what you're doing. Don't take unnecessary risks. But most of all, stop being scared. There is no fear. God's in control. If He's really God, He's got this handled. Just do right. Just do right. So once again, pray and have faith, love others, and be careful as necessary. Let me show you one other verse and we'll be done. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. This ought to be the reason that we do all of these things. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15. Here's the reason. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready to give an answer? When people ask you why you're not freaking out and why you're not scared, what are you going to tell them? Well, because Brother Brian said this. No, that is not a good answer. The answer is this, because God's Word says that's the right answer. With meekness and with reverence, because of who God is and what He says. Amen? Amen. Amen. Miss Kristen, if you'll come and we'll have a time of invitation. If there's something that you're dealing with, if there's something that's going on in your life and you want to come and we'll come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that. But brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Remember what you know. Remember what you know based upon the authority of God's Word. Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Remember what you know. I thank my God that He's in control. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know the situations that we find ourselves in today. God, You know the fear. You know the concern. You know everything that's going on in our lives and the life of this world and this country. Lord, You know the leaders are having to make decisions. I pray, God, that their decisions would not be based upon what they want, but instead based upon what You want. Help us to be cognizant of the fact that they're having to make quick decisions. I pray You give them wisdom and direction and guidance, and they'd seek it from You. Bless our families. Keep us strong. Keep us healthy in You. Help us to live so that You're glorified and that others would seek You. Now, Father, this few more brief moments we have of invitation, may You please take them and use them. If there's a need in our hearts today, may we respond and do what You've called us to do. We love You and we thank You in Christ's name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Dan's going to sing. If you have a need, I invite you to come this morning. I invite you to come.